Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of 1 John, the epistle of 1 John. Yes, sir. John chapter 4. Amen. Found your place, we'll stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God as we read the Holy Scriptures, the epistle of 1 John. And I'll begin reading in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And I want to preach to you this morning, just straight out of the text here, what God is giving us through the Word of God on trying spirits, trying the spirits. And so let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning. I thank you for letting us be back in the house of God. And Lord, I thank you for the good testimonies, the good songs. And we thank you for your word that we have and hold a copy of the Word of God this morning. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord, it can still be proclaimed, Lord, with without fear, without favor, Lord, with boldness and confidence, Lord, we can rely on this truth and on this Bible this morning. And Father, I pray that you would help us now to receive it as such, Lord, to receive it as the Word of God and, Lord, the final authority in our lives. I pray, Lord, you would open our hearts and our minds to it this morning and help us, Lord, as Lord, help me as I try to preach it, God, to say what you'd have me to say, nothing more, nothing less. And Lord, just to proclaim the truth of your word this morning. And Father, I pray that you'd help us all as your people, Lord, to receive it with meekness and gladness. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The pretty clear command here in the text is to try the spirits, and it got me to thinking about all the different topics that are dealt with throughout the book of 1 John. We just finished up dealing with assurance and how to know for sure that you're saved. And before that, we were looking kind of in that same vein, but looking at kind of the love of the brethren being one of those ways of assurance, and then the righteousness being a way, and just, you know, kind of even all the way back to the very beginning. There's been so much dealt with the last days and living in light of the last days, that spirit of Antichrist. I mean, so much. And so I guess maybe to kind of review us a little bit, just get us up to speed. What's the main theme of the book of 1 John? Knowing. The idea of knowing. Know that you know. If you take the book of 1 John, it's written almost as kind of a letter from almost kind of the feeling of a letter of a father to a son or to a child. And it's filled with advice, with warnings, with acknowledgments. It's filled with many things. And it's almost written, again, as a father to his children. And if, as a parent, if you were wanting to impart, you know, if you were to write, I guess, a letter to your child, you know, telling them all that they need to know, that's what you would be imparting to them. You'd be imparting them reality and know this. This is what you need to know. This may be this way it seems to be in life, but I want you to know this is the way it actually is. And that's the whole idea of knowing reality. This is the truth. This is the way life is. This is the way things are. And that seems to be the idea carried all through the book of 1 John. It seemed like it very... pretty much every passage that we read, every, you know, section to section and verse to verse, it always has not just even that idea, but even the word, knowing, know this, and all these things. As a matter of fact, in verse number 2 of our passage this morning, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God." And he's talking about trying the spirits. And so it's that idea carried all the way through. And the attention here is shifting. He's been dealing with assurance and knowing for sure you're saved, but now he kind of shifts shifts to kind of some teachings to saved people. Of course, the whole book is written to saved people. And written to, you know, those that are born again, and getting these things nailed down, getting beyond feeling and into knowing, getting settled and grounded in the Word, and things that will never change, the truths that will never change. Feelings will change, but truths of the Word of God will never change. And so he's getting those things nailed down, and so shifting from being assured of your salvation, being assured that you are in fact one of His, he kind of shifts into some advice here and how to live in light of being one of His, and to know some things that are going to be certain in your life and in my life. And in every age, all throughout history, these things have not changed. This is something that you can know, and that is you must try the spirits. You must try every spirit. And everything that comes under the guise of religion is not true, and it is not holy. Now, I want to say this before I even get any further into this message, even further into this teaching and preaching of this truth right here, is that they're really, I think verses like this are primarily applied and almost categorized to the realm of religion. But there's something we have to understand. This is something that you must know. We all must know. Along with everything else he's wanting us to know, there's something else you need to know. For yourself, for your family, for your children, for our church, there's something we must know, and it is this, that there is really no separation of religion and spiritual and everything else. Everything in our life is religious and spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so, listen, every battle is a spiritual battle. Every struggle is a religious struggle. They talk about the separation of church and state, and the separation of religion. It's that you can't push religion here and push religion there. You know what they're saying whenever they say it? That is their religion. The quote-unquote absence of religion is their religion. Listen, make no mistake, the theory of evolution is a religion. The education system of America is a religion system. It is their religion. The government, in by and large, for a lot of people, is religion. They've kicked God out of it so that they can be the religion of people. I mean, just take a step back and just examine it for a second. I mean, what is it? What is something that is the supreme authority and supreme provider and supreme protector, you know, and the supreme truth, you know, whatever it says or whatever is, you know, is truth, is gospel truth, we would say. I mean, what does that look like? That looks like God, doesn't it? Well, that is what government is to most of Americans now. Supreme provider, supreme protector, supreme authority, supreme truth. Amen. That's why everybody lost their mind during coronavirus, because of what the experts said. They believed what the experts said over what the Bible said. And people would deny that. They say, "Well, that's not true." But listen, you'll find out where they, you know, we found out where they were on Sunday, and found out what they believed, who they believed more. Whenever God said one thing and they did another, you found out who they believed more. Now they'll say something very different, but humanity has always paid lip service to God. Always, they paid lip service to Jesus when He was here. But we find out who and what we believe and how we live in the way that we're in. Isn't that right? Listen, and I'm in the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. And so by the grace of God, I'll keep going that way no matter what anybody else says or does. Amen? I mean, people believe now, I mean, if the government don't do it, it ain't going to get done. If the government doesn't build it, it's not going to get built. If they don't maintain the economy, it won't be maintained. If they don't pay their bills, and if they don't, you know, keep the wheels of society turning, they're not going to turn. And humanity, we've forgotten about God. That God is the one that does all of that. And so, of course, for us, for our people, it's different for us, I hope. A lot of that mentality has gotten into the church and gotten into church people. But we have to remember that it is God that takes care of us. Amen. By the way, that's why every communist dictator that's ever been, the first thing they do is outlaw the Bible and religion. They attack God's people because it is impossible to control a society that believes that there is a God. It is impossible to control a society that believes the God of heaven. Amen. And they might not necessarily attack religion in general, but they will attack God's people. Amen. I mean, there's plenty of Buddhists in China, but it's hard to get Bibles in there. Right? And so it's the God of heaven that they want to kick out. It's the God of heaven. Listen, religion is not out of the schools. Don't for a second think that. Religion is not out of the schools, but they've kicked the God of heaven out. Religion's not out of the courtrooms. They've just kicked the God of heaven out. Just that religion. And they honor every religion. Allah and all these Muslims. I mean, they pander to all that stuff. But listen, the God of heaven is not welcome. He is not welcome. And so I'm simply saying, and I didn't mean to get so deep into that, but it's what we need to know. That as we get into this, that this is not a teaching that is relegated just to preachers and televangelists and, you know, the weird non-denominational church down the corner and the weird stuff that's going on in churches and all that. It's not relegated just to that, because I think we get that idea. We put things into categories and it applies here but not here. But listen, what we have to understand is that everything in our life, this applies to. You have to try every spirit. Because everything in your life is religious. Everything in your life is spiritual. Every decision is a spiritual decision. Amen? Now, often what is religion or what is religious is in fact satanic. It's deceptive and evil. As a matter of fact, that's his main work, is in that realm. Now, John, or God, speaks through John of this problem. In the first part of this chapter, that's what we're going to look at, trying the spirits. Now, the word try simply means to test, to approve, to allow or discern or to examine. You have to examine the spirits and examine the things in your life, because there are so many things pulling at you. All of us, all the time, as we are out in this world and out in society, on our jobs, raising our families, all these things. Listen, there are pulls at us, and every pull is not a spiritual pull. Amen. Listen, we just went through this whole series on that whole thing of victory. And if you remember, there's three main enemies of your soul, and they are what? That's it. And listen, everything you and I face is going to fall under one of those three categories, or in a multiple, or in all of them, maybe one or two, or all of them. And so what those are pulls at us. And we found, like, specifically the enemy of the world, the world system, the society, the anti-Christ world system. They are vying for something. And if you recall, what the world is vying for, what the world is trying to gain from you, is your heart, your affections. That's what Paul talked about, that one fellow that had left him, having loved this present world, is what he said. And that's what the world's trying to gain from you and from me, our love and our heart. And the world is always after that. The enemies of your soul are always after that. That's why you have to try the spirits. Because every spirit that's attempting to gain your love and your affections and your commitment and gain the priorities of your life, listen, it's not always of God. And the only way you can tell the difference is with this Bible. Now, I've majored on this a lot lately, and I don't know why, but here it is. You can't go on how you feel. Because everything that the devil puts before you to draw your heart away from God, draw your commitment, and draw your affections from God, to draw that away, listen, everything he puts in front of you is not going to be what you hate. It's going to be what your flesh loves. It's not going to be things that feel bad. It's going to be things that feel good. It's not going to be things that are unenjoyable. It's going to be things that are enjoyable to the flesh. And so that's what I'm saying. You can't go on the way you feel. You've got to try the spirits. And how do you try them? You put them on trial with this Bible. And faith is going with what God says over the way you feel about it in your flesh. Faith is trusting God and what He says in His Word about this circumstance or this situation in my life or this person in my life. It's going with what God says over how you feel about it. Because listen, don't forget now, was it Jeremiah? That the heart, is deceptive above all. Above all. There's nothing in this world that will deceive you more and quicker and worse than your own heart. We blame a lot on the devil that really, if we'd be honest, it's our own heart. Well, yeah, he ain't a million miles. Most of us ain't spiritual enough to him, for him to worry about. I mean, I'll just be honest about it. Our heart takes care of us. Our own heart takes care of us most of the time. Amen? Because listen, you can get yourself believing and talk yourself into something that you want. That's what we say about something. We talk about having our heart set on it, or he's got his heart set. And generally, people will always go after and obtain that which their heart is set on. No matter how bizarre or far-fetched, no matter how clear the signs are of how bad that is for them, if their heart is set on it, listen, they'll justify anything. That's why I told the men at the jail this the other night, listen, you just soon beat your head against a brick wall as to talk to some guy that's madly in love with some girl, or vice versa. I mean, you may as well just beat your head against this platform up here, because if their heart wants it and their heart's involved and it's what they're... Listen, all of the red flags in the world might be there of how terrible this is, what an awful idea this is. Listen, you may as well... I mean, you do as well talk to a doorknob, because if their heart wants it, they'll justify everything. Amen. I'm saying I've seen more than one situation from the outside looking in, where people dive headlong into a horrific situation, marry into some terrible situation, and people try to advise them and counsel them and pray for them, and they won't listen. They won't listen. Why? Because it's what their heart wants. And your heart is deceptive above all. Oh, you may even see the red flags, but your heart will justify it. Your heart will overlook it. That's why you got to trust God. Faith is trusting the Lord over your heart. What God said is about over in this Bible over everything else. Amen? And so we're testing and approving, examining these things. And you've got to do it through the Bible. All right? It's a battle for all of us. He's talking to saved people here. Because with the world and the flesh, the devil vying for your affections all the time, let's be honest, as saved people, there's times where we get our affections out of whack. Generally speaking, you look through the pattern of revival in the Bible, it's when God's people get their affections right. And our biggest problem is not whether we're saved or lost a lot of times. A lot of people's biggest problem is where their affections are at. That's why he said to save people, to set your affections on things above. That's why he said in the book of Jude to keep yourselves in the love of God. That has to do with your affections. And we get all messed up when our affections are obtained by something that's not the Lord. Right? Now, I'm not going to get through all this today. This is going to be the message of the day, not this morning. It's going to be of the day, okay? Today, we are looking at trying the spirits. And this will help you. This will help our church. This will help you as a Christian. This will help your family if we will get these things nailed down, if we'll know them. Know them. Get them nailed down. Make them a part of our life. Now, I want to just look at verse number 1, first of all, and look at just the clear, straight command to examine. That's what he's talking about. Trying the spirits. Examine the spirits. He said, beloved, that's saved people, right? Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know, evil uses many disguises to pass for the real thing. That's why this is not relegated just to the realm of religion, quote unquote. This isn't relegated just to the realm of ministry. And it's not relegated just to the realm of the four walls of the church. This touches every area of your life. Nothing is beneath the devil. Nothing's beneath this world. Nothing's beneath your flesh. Listen, they will go to any length and any low to get a foothold in your life. And it's so, it's so much of what's going on, even in the realm of religion. Most of us know better than that. Nobody here surely was going to go on and cut on Paula White, you know, or cut on some TBN preacher, and I mean really get something out of it. And surely no one here would have the sense to go home and then come back and tell the preacher, man, you'll never guess what I heard Paula White say today. Boy, it was such a blessing. I really love her preaching. Surely nobody's got that, you know, nobody's got that many problems in their head to do something like that, you know. Listen, most of us, we see through that. We see clearly. But listen, the devil's way more subtle than that. He's way more, he knows you're not deceived by Benny Hinn and that goofball and that crowd. He knows that. Now, there are some out there who are, but probably, you know, most of us here, we've heard enough preaching and been in the way long enough, we can see the difference in that stuff. Surely, right? He knows probably no one here is going to be deceived by some perverted version of Scripture and, you know, I mean, he knows that. And so he's so much more subtle. And so is your heart, too, by the way. Your heart's more subtle than that. And it touches every area of your life. And they'll use things even outside the realm of ministry and religion to disguise and to pass as something real and something that to obtain your heart and your affections. But really, it is evil if you look at it through the Word of God. Use many disguises to pass for the real thing. Use many disguises to pass for something that is harmless. Therefore, to examine, the Bible says, all the quote-unquote spirits, he said, for validity. And again, that's with the Word of God, not with our feelings. Not what appeals to us. Now, he makes the first statement here. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, that's a pretty important command. You say, well, why is that? I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Doesn't take a doctorate degree to understand that. It's a straightforward command, but it's important because a lot of good people tend to believe others. And a lot of God's people can kind of, if we're not careful, we can tend to believe others. And we can tend to look at others as we do ourselves. You know, a lot of people are just kind of sincerely good people, especially God's people. I mean, we're the God's people, the best people in the world. There's no other crowd I'd rather run with than God's people. I know they're not all perfect, and I know we got our problems just like anybody else. Well, listen, God's people have been better to me than any other people, but a lot of good people tend to believe others and look at others as they do themselves because, think of life and see life in a certain way. And because they can't ever see themselves being as deceptive and evil as what is out there, then it's hard for them to imagine that evil is behind someone else's actions either. I've made this statement many times. Whenever you look at what goes on, I mean, and I don't really even watch any news anymore. I mean, it's amazing how you don't even have to watch news, but you'll still kind of keep up with what's going on in the world. It's amazing. But every now and then you'll hear of or run across some story, you know, I mean, of just some heinous crime or some heinous act. It's so awful. And I've made this statement so many times that it's hard to believe that people can be that wicked. And it is, isn't it? Because, I mean, just myself, I mean, I can never imagine. I know all of us are capable of any sin within our flesh. We're all as wicked and rotten. But, I mean, just from one perspective, it's like, I could never imagine doing what some of these people. I mean, these crazy nuts who, like, go off the deep end and kill their whole family. You know, kill their wife and kill their small children and I mean, dismember them and do all kinds of just crazy, demonic. I mean, it's amazing to me. I can't even, it doesn't even compute in my mind how people can be as wicked as they are with some of the stuff they do. But see, if we're not careful, we'll carry that mentality into everything. That there's never, you know, because we don't think that way, then we'll get, you know, not careful, we'll think, well, nobody's got evil intentions or motives behind what they're telling me. No one, they don't have evil intentions or motives. You know, they may not be just like me, but they're sincere in it, and they have got clear motives and all those things. You listen to me, the devil and the flesh is mighty, mighty subtle, a whole lot more subtle than that. And so, therefore, this is basically a command to not be gullible to God's people. I mean, is it not? I mean, why else would he say it? You know, believe not every spirit. If it wasn't the potential of just believing everything. Just good-hearted people just believing everything. Listen, don't you remember 1 Peter 5:8? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The first phrase, the first part of that verse is the command. The second part is the reason for the command, but the first part is the command, and the command is this: be sober, be vigilant. And the reason he commands that is because the potential is there in our life to get lax and not be sober, not be serious-minded and look at things seriously. Well, I think if we ever need a revival of something in America, it's the revival of soberness. And I'm not just talking about drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. That's certainly a big part of it. But I'm talking about even God's people, even people just in general, taking some things soberly, thinking seriously about things that need to be thought seriously about. We're in an entertained to death society and an amused to death society where everything's got to be fun and everything's got to be exciting and everything's got to take my mind off the problems of life and the serious things of life, or else I don't care anything to have it. I don't want to be around it. And you can see where that mentality's flowed into the church now, to where if you're going to have a crowd and get people to come, you got to have something that's entertaining and amusing and exciting and gets people's minds off the serious things of life. God's command is to be sober, and soberness has to do with thinking seriously about things that should be thought seriously about. I know a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and it's good to have fun. If anybody likes to have fun, you know it's me. Praise God. I love having fun. I love laughing. I love kidding around, joking around. But listen, there's a time to be serious. There's things that should be taken seriously. And so he commands to be sober, be serious. And then he says, be vigilant. And why would he say that if there wasn't the potential for God's people to not be vigilant? And the two go hand in hand. When you don't take seriously the things you should take seriously, you're not going to be vigilant over them. Amen. And so the command is there in 1 Peter. The command is right here. Listen, be serious. Let's try. You better try the spirits. You better take this thing seriously. And the reason is, he gives the same reason in our verse here, because there are many false prophets in society. And that doesn't just mean televangelists. A false prophet is anyone or anything that would promote falsehood in your life. It could be books. It could be TV shows, it could be podcasts, it could be YouTube videos, it could be virtually everything on social media. I mean, let's just be honest. It could be, you know, Instagram, it could be Facebook, it could be Twitter, it could be, you know, I mean, it could be a friend, it could be coworkers, it could be, I mean, any whatever's out there. If it promotes, it could be a system, a movement, or a person, but if it promotes falsehood into your heart, I believe that's what he's talking about whenever he talks about a false prophet. Promoting falsehood. Now, I know the specifics of it may be actual, what we'd consider a false prophet, but the application goes with all of them. See, the devil's so subtle that, again, he knows we're not taken up with Benny Hinn. He's a false prophet. We know that. But let me tell you, there's a lot of other things out there vying for your soul. There's a lot of other things out there vying for your affections that he'll very subtly slip in under the radar. And if you're not careful, before long, it'll have your heart, and you'll be more committed to it than you are God. It'll be more of a priority in your life than the things of God are. And tell me how that's different from a false prophet. Just tell me. Tell me how that's different from a false prophet. That is sowing falsehood and stealing your affections from God. Confusion in your life, confusion in your family. And so the point is, we shouldn't believe everything we see and hear. Whether it's from religious people or whether it's the world, it's all religion. It's all spiritual. And the point is to see things for what they are. See things as God sees them. The reality of it. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Then he says, but try the spirits whether they are of God. That's because everything we encounter is not of God. I know that probably blows somebody's mind, you know. I know you just can't believe that. But listen, what you and I encounter on a day-to-day basis in our life, it's not all of God. In fact, most of it's not. Most of it's not. So the command is to examine the spirits. See them for what they are. Testing them is essential to learn if they are true or false. Now, something or someone false will usually object to the examination. That's one way you can know. Something or someone, if it's false, if it's not real, listen, they're not going to like being examined. Not by the Word of God. We had a guy hang around Tuesday night at the jail. And every now and then we'll have somebody hang around, you know. And every story is different, but they're all the same. You know, a lot of them. And you can tell pretty quick which ones are real and which ones are, you know, it's kind of more for their own benefit. It's kind of, you know, what I can get out of God, what I can get out of things. And I tell you how a lot of times how quickly you can spot the difference is injecting the Word of God. Because they separate like oil and water, man. They just don't mix. Not if somebody's heart is right, or not if somebody's heart is wrong. And this fellow hung around last night. And again, the stories are always different, but they're always the same. You know, they're going to get out of here and move here, there, and yonder to get away from that crowd they're with because, you know, that influence, and they've got me in trouble and stuff. And I just flat out told the guy. Not ugly, but I mean, I'm a preacher of righteousness. I'm going to tell you the truth. You want to know the truth? I'm going to tell you, best I can tell by the Word of God, this is the truth. And I just flat out told the guy, not unkindly, but I told him, I said, listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. Your problems are going to follow you everywhere you go. People, they think, well, if I just move off somewhere and I'll start over, I'll get away from that crowd. Let me just tell you, that crowd's going to be there waiting for you. That meth crowd, that doping crowd, they're going to be there. They're going to be where everywhere you go. And they're going to find you, and your flesh is going to find them. I mean, it's going to happen every time. And I went right from that to telling him what the Bible said. Well, this is what the Bible said. You know, this is what you need. According to the Bible, this is what you need. And I'm telling you, and you've probably seen this, if you've been in a situation like this, their eyes just glaze over. And it wasn't but just a couple seconds where he was trying to shake my hand so he could get out of there. All right, okay. Yep. All right. One way you can tell the difference is you inject the Word of God and it'll expose the truth. Expose where people really are at. Amen. Isn't that what Solomon did with those ladies that had them babies and the one killed the one and swapped them, you know? What did he use? What did he use to expose the truth in that whole thing? He used the presence of the sword. He said, bring out a sword. The presence of the sword always exposes the truth. And listen, if it's false in your life, listen, it's not going to enjoy being examined by the truth. It's not going to hold up by being examined. But listen, if something is real, if something is right, it'll be more than comfortable being examined in light of the Word of God. Amen? Listen, I've said something about this recently too, and I think it's probably because where some of our young people are in our church and those things. But I've seen this true in my life. But listen, if you're considering marrying somebody or considering being with somebody, listen, you're not if it's right and if God's in it, you're not going to be uncomfortable having them around your parents, and you're not going to be uncomfortable having them around your preacher either. You're not going to be embarrassed by who and what you are if it's really who and what you are, and if it's right, if they're right too. And that goes with anything of our life. Listen, if God's in it and it's right, it's not some falsehood out there. Listen, you wouldn't mind being caught wearing it when your preacher's around. People do things and you know live in ways, and then they want to hide whenever they spot the preacher out in town. Well, that right there lets you know that God's not in it. And the only way I know that's a fact is because I've been there. I've been lost too. I've been rebellious too, and I ain't been right with God too. I mean, you know, I've been there. Spot some church person or spot the preacher, and you're trying to hide, trying to find another aisle to get on real quick, you know, so he don't see you. You know? Spot him coming into some restaurant and you're trying to hide in the booth, you know, so he don't see you. I know what all that's about. That's a sign right there. Try that spirit. That lets you know that the spirit of that thing is not right. It's a spirit of wickedness. I'm not just calling it like it is. Isn't that right? See, something or someone in our life, if it's truly right, it'll welcome examination. It won't be uncomfortable with that. And we're the same way. We're, you know, when we're spiritual and we're right with God, we have an open spirit about us. You can usually tell a lot about people in church about where they are with God based on their spirit. If they have an open spirit, you know, you can just sense an open spirit or a closed off spirit. And usually if people got a closed off spirit, there's something in their life that they're trying to hide. And they're not trying to hide it from you and from me, they're trying to hide it from God. Now, it might be the preacher and, you know, or whatever, that's the face of it, but ultimately the heart of that thing is hiding it from God. See, that's what David said. He was a spiritual man. Man after God's own heart. And he said in Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God." He had no problem being searched by God. He wanted to be searched. As a matter of fact, whenever you're right with God, you do want to be searched. You want God. I've prayed many times in my life, Lord, please help me. Show me the error of my ways. Lord, if I'm not thinking right about this, Lord, if I'm not preaching right about this, Lord, if I'm not believing right about this, Lord, show me I'm the problem, if I'm the problem. And when you're right with God, that's the way you feel. Lord, search me, let me know. He said, "Search me, O God." He said, "Know my heart." You have no problem having your heart known and exposed when you're right. He said, "Try me, put me on trial, not somebody else." See, that's the difference in religion and Phariseeism versus true spirituality. Religion and Phariseeism always wants to try somebody else. Be so pious, you know, and it's always about somebody else. But listen, whenever you're really right with God and you're really spiritual and you're wanting to draw an eye to God, you're not thinking about somebody else. You're thinking about me. Lord, I'm the problem. Lord, know me. Lord, search me. He said, "Try me." He said, "Know my thoughts." He said, "See if there be any wicked way within me." He said, "Lead me in the way everlasting." And that's a spiritual way of thinking that, Lord, I'm the one that needs you. I'm the one standing in the need of prayer, right? I'm the one that needs to be searched. And that's the way we are. But you know and I know that whenever we're not right with God and our heart's not right, we don't want to be searched. We don't want to be exposed. Isn't that right? Listen, Paul himself was examined by the noble Bereans. Isn't that right? Acts 17. They searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Did Paul take offense to that? Well, I know some preachers that, boy, if you call them on the carpet, and maybe not confronting them, but if you question them about something, you know, or like, what do you think about this? Like, you heard them preach something, you ask them for clarification, they get real defensive. Like, you know, well, bless God, if I'm preaching, you know, whatever. Listen, I have no problem with somebody questioning me. I take no offense to that. I want my preaching to be right. I want it to be true. I want it to be, you know, be what God wants it to be. And you look at Paul, he didn't take any offense to that. Paul called them noble. He said they were noble Bereans. Listen, would to God all of God's people were that way. That they took the things of God seriously enough to go beyond just what the preacher says and say, well, I want to know what God says. I want to get in my heart. I don't want just to be Him. I want it to be for me too. Amen? Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because not every spirit's of God. And he says the reason is because many false prophets are gone into the world. That's the reason. Now, we know the world's full of evil religion. TV evangelists, healers, musicians with their Christian rock. And let me throw this in there too. And their Southern gospel. You can say amen right there. It's true too. Their Southern, some of that Southern gospel, God ain't even a million miles of it. And I tell you what it is. It is deception. Prosperity gospel, growth, gimmicks, education, all this stuff. I mean, so many things we could say. And what it is all falsehood. And anything that would promote falsehood in your life and draw your heart from God, you can go ahead and label it as a false prophet. Anything that would deceive, defile, and destroy your faith could be considered a false prophet in your life. Listen, I always worry about our young people that are raised up in good churches. I know we got some getting close to college age. We've got one going off to college pretty soon. Listen, I worry and I pray. I got to help you. Because listen, you get off that stuff, they'll shake your faith. They'll shake your faith. Listen, you get under this professor who's smarter than God. And, you know, he's got all these, and they openly mock the things of God. Brother Jacob, that's not true. I've been there. You're not going to tell me it's not true. I've been there. I've experienced it myself. You're not careful, that stuff will shake your faith. Not even just that. I mean, many other things that it promotes in our lives. We have to be very careful and try the spirits. You know, a mark of wisdom is to test every movement and men lest you be beguiled and ruined by them, as a lot of unsuspecting people have. There's just so many. Listen, it's a hallmark of our day. Is a day of deception. And I want to say that I'm not talking about not loving people and not wanting to see people say that's not what this has got to do with at all. But it is a fact that we have to view people and try the spirits and view people for what they are. Listen, there may be people that we really love, but listen, there's a difference in loving someone and wanting to see them saved and embracing them in our life. We have to be careful how much time we spend with some people. We have to be careful how much we open up to some people. We have to be careful how much influence we have, let people and things have in our life, because we have to try the spirits and know that I can't let this influence me. This is not of God. So he gives the command in verse 1. Let me give this very quickly. In verse 2 and 3, he gives the criteria to examine it. Not only just does he give us the command and the reason for the command, but he gives criteria. This is the criteria to examine. Verse 2, he says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." So, the main trial, according to this verse, the main trial of a movement or a man is to check their handling of Jesus Christ. How do they handle the Lord Jesus Christ? And that'll tell you everything you need to know about Him. Now, this includes both His person, but it also includes His commands too. Because you cannot separate the two. And I was thinking about this morning. I was praying, getting ready to preach this and all. And I was thinking about that, the word. Jesus is the living Word, or He's the Word in flesh, right? We have the written Word. So Jesus is the Word. Now, that word, speaks of expression. So Jesus Christ is the expression of God to humanity in the form of a person, in a flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So He was the expression of God to humanity in a physical, fleshly form. Right? Now we say He's the living Word. But I want you to hit pause on that for just a second. Because Jesus is the Word of God, the expression of God in a person. This Bible is the expression of God on the page. But they're both the Word. Now, we refer to Jesus as the living Word, and we refer to this Bible as the written Word. But hold on a second. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I won't quote the rest of the verse because you know it. But the word quick means what? Alive. So we don't have one that is the living Word and the other one that's the written Word. They're both the living Word. It's just that one is the expression of God in a person, the other one is an expression of God on the page, but they're both the living Word of God. They are both the expression of God to humanity. And I said that to say this. A lot of people pay lip service to Jesus, and we love Jesus, and we'll hold hands and go to heaven together, but if they will pay lip service to Him but not believe this Word, you better watch them. It's a bad spirit. Because you cannot separate the Word in person from the Word on the page. They're both the living Word of God. And there's nothing closer to having Jesus Christ in the flesh dwelling among us than having this Bible in your hands. You couldn't touch Jesus, but you can touch this Bible, and it's just about the same thing. Y'all with me? And I said that to say this because, listen, there's nearly everybody. You won't find anybody around here, just about, very few, that wouldn't say they love Jesus. and use and proclaim the name of Jesus, right? But it's another Jesus. It's a different Jesus. It's not the Jesus of the Word. Amen? And so I'm simply saying this, is that, listen, don't be deceived. Try the Spirit, because what they do with Jesus doesn't just have to do with them proclaiming Him in name. It has to do with what they do with His commands as well. What they do with the Word in person, but also the Word on the page. It's the same thing. See, there are, of course, other tests, but this is the first and foremost test. That's why, again, getting back to dealing with people, you know, they want to know the right answer, and they want to know the right way to go, and all these things, until you start introducing the Word. You find out how their real handling of Jesus is, how they really handle the Word, how they handle the Lord. See, anything that denies His deity, virgin birth, sinlessness, Messiahship, all those things, I tell you what it is, it's false. It's false. And anything or anyone pressuring you against His Word is a bad spirit. Anything or anyone promoting or pressuring you to go against His Word, His living Word, and that's not just the person, that's the page too, they're both living. Anything pushing or pressuring or promoting you or me to go against that, you better try that spirit. It's a bad spirit. It hasn't got the Spirit of God. And so He gives us the criteria for examining. I'm going to end off right there. We're going to close out the rest of this tonight. But, you know, when I think about this passage, think about this preaching, this message, my prayer for both myself and my family, but my prayer for our church and all of us, is that we'd seek to have our eyes open to these things. That the Spirit of God would expose these things to us, and that every one of us, every family, would get honest about the things that are draining us spiritually and get serious about it. Brother Massengale, we mentioned him this morning. I've spoke to him on the phone. I've never met him in person, but I've spoke to him on the phone a few times. And not every church is this extreme, obviously, but one of the things they have in place in their church, that you, if you're on his staff at church, like, you cannot be on staff of any kind and have social media at his church. You can't do it. Not every church, not every preacher is that extreme. I have not taken that stand personally here, but I get it. I'll say that. I get it. I understand it. I understand it. And this is what he told me. He said the reason for that, he said, I believe that stuff is a spiritual drain on people. It is a drain. It is. It is. Me and my family have stepped away from it. This summer, stepped away from it. Because of the spiritual drain that it is. Because we're it's summertime, and Hannah calls it naked season. Yeah, that's right. People have no problem posting half-naked pictures of themselves on Facebook, you know, all the time. And I don't want to see it, and she don't want us to want to see and exposed to it. Amen. Praise God for it. I want to just say I appreciate a wife like that. Amen. Amen. That would help to look out and help to guard my soul. Help to guard my mind. Amen. But that's what he said. He said, I don't lie. It's just a rule. It's a principle we have. He said, you can't be on the platform. You can't sing in the choir. You can't be a Sunday school teacher. You can't be on stage. You can't do anything in the church. You can come, but you can't do anything in the church and have social media too. Amen. And his reason was because he said it's a spiritual drain on people. But you know, if we'd be honest, we all have got things in our lives that are spiritual drain. It's draining us spiritually. And the Bible commands to try the spirits and see if they be of God. And I tell you what will happen. If we get real serious and get real honest with God and ask God, Lord, show me, really show me. Show me the things in my life that are a spiritual drain. Help me to try the spirits and to know. That's what it's all about, right? Knowing. Help me, Lord, to know. A lot of times we don't know things. God don't show us things because He knows we won't do anything about it. But if we'll get real serious, real honest with God, and make up our mind, we'll do something about it if God will show it to us. You know what I believe? I believe God will help us to try the spirits. He'll help us to know. And my prayer is that we'll all do that in our lives. Myself, my family, and all of us, that we'll do that. Because that's where revival will happen. That's how we'll get help. That's how God will work. That's how God will move. And we may not see some big city-wide revival, but we'll see a heart-wide revival, if nothing else, if we'll try the Spirit's. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, for helping us with it. I pray that you'll take it and use it. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us, Lord, to try the Spirit's. And I pray, Lord, that you would guide us into all truth with it. I pray that you'd help us to be serious, Lord, and do business with you, Lord, about anything that you would show us, Lord, that we know in our heart, God, is a drain to us. And Lord, help us to, Lord, root up and tear down and get the things out of our life. Lord, add the things to our lives, Lord, that we know that you're dealing with us about. God, that we might be what you want us to be. Lord, I pray that you touch every part of our church, every member. Lord, I pray that you touch myself. Help me. Lord, help my family. Lord, help us all, God, to be honest with ourselves, honest with you, and to try the spirits, Lord, and see if they be of God. Help us, Lord, to do business and do what you ask us to do and respond the way you'd have us to respond. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.